Great to be with you on this Thursday, the 11th of October. I'm standing in for Tiger today. Well, actually not quite standing in. We're swapping Thursdays and Fridays because I have to go away tomorrow and Tiger's agreed to do my show tomorrow here on 98.9 FM. So to begin with, let me firstly start by acknowledging traditional owners of the land where Let's Talk is broadcast. I'd also like to pay my respects to our elders, both Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders and non-Indigenous elders. And Let's Talk is coming to you from the studios of 98.9 FM here in Brisbane, going right around the country on the National Indigenous Radio Service. So great to have you along, whether you're listening in Brisbane or outside of Brisbane. Now, I'd like to welcome to Let's Talk today a few of the people involved in the Puya Foundation at Lockhart River in far north Queensland. The foundation was set up back in 2008 by Lockhart River community members with the support of public servants and business leaders, with the view to address the disadvantage experienced by locals by developing partnerships, programs and activities that bridge or close the gap in areas like employment, education, health, housing, etc. Well, first up, we're going to catch up with the chair of the Puya Foundation, Dottie Hobson. She's been involved with the Lockhart River Aboriginal Council in a number of roles, including as a councillor and as a chairperson. Dottie, welcome to Let's Talk.
Good morning, Karen.
Firstly, Dottie, tell us a bit about yourself, your mob and your country.
I'm actually from Lockhart River. My clan group is the Kukuyao people. And we, it's a big clan, the Kukuyao one, and it's bigger than the other ones here that we got at Lockhart.
How many other clans do you have there at Lockhart?
There's about another six.
And who are they?
There's that Wutati, the Nice Island Mob, Kanju, Umpila, what else? Ankum, and
well, I've only ever seen pictures of Lockhart River. I've never actually visited it. But tell us about the country there. Whereabouts are you?
We sit on the eastern side of Cape York, and straight across from Weipa. Weipa on the west side and Lockhart is just straight across on the other side, on the eastern side. There's about 650 or 700 people. And we're so isolated. When it's wet, we get cut off. The only way in is by plane. And the food we get is comes in on the barge.
So it gets barged up, not come on the roads?
Yeah, on Sea Swift.
All right. And tell us, what's there in terms of, facilities? Is there a local school, hospital, that sort of thing?
Yeah, there's a local school, a clinic, a police station, a retail store. We actually got a community hall. We actually got a Puya Centre, which comes under this Puya Foundation, a building on its own.
Yeah.
And our church.
And where Lockhart River is today, that's
sorry, I forgot to mention the women's shelter and the men's centre.
Okay. And there's obviously an airstrip as well.
Yes, of course. There's an airstrip and there's an accommodation thing at the airport too.
Okay.
Little iron range cabins, they call them.
Okay, right. And you're a coastal town.
Yes, we are sandwich people.
Okay, that's the fishing like. Is it good this time? Is it good all year round, or are there specific times?
We've got people that comes in just for the fishing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a good fishing area there, in and around Lockhart area.
Yep. Well, it looks like
it
is.
It's a good fishing area.
Mm. All right. Well, look, what we might do is also welcome to Let's Talk your fellow Puya colleagues, and, of course, one of them is your Chief Executive Officer, Denise Hagen, and also another director, Veronica Piva. Good morning to you two.
Good morning, Karen.
Veronica, if I could firstly speak, find out a little bit about you, how you came to Lockhart River.
It's a big story. As originally, I came from Solomon Islands, and my late husband was a minister in a church. So we came as missionaries to Australia, 12 years in Melbourne, and then we transferred to Lockhart River by the call of the person that brought us here, which is a big man on the top.
That's quite a transition from Solomon Islands to Melbourne to Lockhart River. How did you find it?
We've been overseas before, so the transition was not a problem to us. It's a matter of how you get on with people. I mean, we came to Melbourne. It was a white community that we were dealing with. And then going up to Lockhart River was our own colour people. But the customs are different. You have to get down and get used to the ways they do things, the Christian way of doing things. So I found it no problem at all. It's fitting in so quickly and being accepted by the people of the community.
Mm. And Denise, what about you? You're a former public servant, and I guess that's how your association kind of began with Lockhart River.
That's right, Karen. I was working for the state government and originally was doing fly-in, fly-out work to Lockhart. That wasn't working. Community said, come and stay for a couple of months, help us do some planning, and I didn't leave. I stayed there living for 5.5 years and fell in love with the community and could see the results we were getting, and so wanted to keep working together with my sisters and with Lockhart River here, and that's why we worked to set up the Puya Foundation to continue that work.
Well, as I was saying, that it was set up by a couple of public servants. There's yourself, Jim Varghese, I think, was another one, and there were some business leaders that helped set it up as well, along with community members like Dottie and like Veronica. So tell us the story there. I don't know, who wants to take that one?
Okay, I'm getting pointed.
Okay, yeah, the chair has made the decision, so it's you who's telling the story.
The chair has delegated to me. Yes. Basically, the community is very dependent on government funding, so more than 90% of the funding.
Right, and you've been going since 2008. What sort of runs on the board have you made in that, you know, 4-year period? And Veronica and Dottie, please feel free to jump in whenever you can, because you are able to. Yep.
From 2008, we're basically totally volunteer organisation for 3 years. So we just kept working away. We did a music CD, which Veronica or Dottie might like to talk about, and that's one of the things we've done. We've also been working in some health areas with diabetes, and we're also working on a big project with early years learning and parenting. But perhaps Dottie or Veronica would like to talk about the power of music.
Yeah, I think one of the things which is very encouraging is working partnership with those people who have been working with us in Lockhart River. And I think working with them and with us who are on the ground is very important. And one of the things that we achieved last year was these people who got their musical talents. And probably you haven't seen the CD, but one of the stories that is on the CD is of a boy that was taken away from home, you know, like people before, taken away from home because the parents weren't looking after them properly. His story is in his song, telling of how he was taken away from home when he was a baby, he was lost and did not know his people. But when he turned 18, he was sent back to his to Logat River, and there where he found the connection between his own family and the community people. And the song tells you the whole story of his life, being taken away, not knowing his people, and coming back when he turned 18 was a big challenge for him to fall back into the community with his people. And the song really tells you what his whole story is about.
And what was it like for him, you know, to be able to use music to, you know, convey how you know his story?
But I think music is one of those things that people express themselves in their own life. And music is one of those things people can come forward with it, or even art. You know, they put their stories into art. You know, the drawing. And it conveys a message very clearly to people. And I think this is one of the things that really came out very clearly to our people or to whoever listens to his music.
Mm. Dottie, you're an artist in your own right as well.
Yeah, I was too busy now doing this thing, but I'm not kind of pens.
You don't have the time to do art, but is that something that the Puya Foundation would like to use art as well as a means of?
We will. It's something that we talk about. Yes, we'll be doing art. I want to add to the music thing, because in our community we are losing our language. So the first one or the second CD to you.
Okay, I did see a clip that's on YouTube. So I'm not sure if that's the if one of those boys featured in that clip is one of the people that the young fella that Veronica just told us the story of.
Yeah.
Hey, look, we might take a music break and we'll come back to the three of you. And just a reminder, if you've just tuned in, you are listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM and the National Indigenous Radio Service. And we're talking to representatives from the Puya Foundation from Lockhart River. And they are, who you just heard there, chair of the Puya Foundation, Dottie Hobson. We also heard from a director there, Veronica Piva, who we'll come back to today, and the chief executive officer, Denise Hagen. Stay with us here on Let's Talk. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM in Brisbane and relayed across the country on the National Indigenous Radio Service. My name is Karen Durante, standing in for your regular Thursday host, Tiger Bales. He's doing my show tomorrow because I'm actually heading to far north Queensland for sorry business. At the moment, though, I am speaking with a few people, from the Puya Foundation at Lockhart River. One of them is Dottie Hobson, who's the chair of the Puya Foundation. The other is the chief executive officer of the foundation, Denise Hagen, and Veronica Piva. She's one of their directors. Now, I feel a bit remiss, Dottie, that we didn't actually find out what Puya means, because it's a word from your language.
Yeah, the Puya means heart in the Kukuyao language.
Heart.
Yeah.
Okay, and I mean, what you know, sort of drove the decision to call it the Puya to use that name.
We picked Puya because we thought it was the right word for it. Because when we talk about a community and the things we need to do, it comes from our Puya, comes from our heart.
Okay. Tell us, you've been involved with, you know, the local council, and I think you've been involved in other organisations as well, obviously trying to help close that gap. You must believe that, you know, Puya is, you know, it might make a difference. And is it because of that, because it's driven by the heart?
And the things we're doing, like Dennis mentioned before, actually working with my parents, because actually at the moment, you know, we do babies having babies in our community.
Yeah.
So we're thinking that we should look at the ways that we could help the parents and with the little ones. Education is now very important for everyone. So targeting the little ones is the way we're going to go, working within with the parents.
And is this something that community members have come to you, Dottie, and said, look, can the foundation do something about this? You know, I think, or, you know, they've come to you and said, we'd like you to focus on that, you know, early childhood education, you know, to help those young ones coming through, to make sure that, you know, one, they get a good education, that two, you might actually have someone from Lockhart who actually goes on further to university and graduates.
That's right. That's what we're looking at. And we have to, you know, we live in the community and we talk about all these things day to day sort of thing. We must do something. So we think we need to target the little one.
Yeah. Yeah. It must be, I don't know. I imagine it can be frustrating because you know, having been there at Lockhart River all your life, you've seen people come and go and no real difference sort of made in the lives of people.
Yeah, it's just not between ourselves. We come out and what we call a learning circle, sitting with other agencies, sitting around the table talking about these things.
Yeah. Might bring
in. I'll let Denise say more about that.
All right. Well, we'll bring Denise back into the conversation. And Veronica, feel free to add your bit too, because although you're not a Aboriginal person, I guess you bring a different perspective as, a woman from another country.
Yeah, I think the similar things. Our tradition is almost the same as that gives a lot of differences to makes a lot of differences to what we are doing, and it's not only that. I think on the spiritual side of the people, because our people are very spiritual. Aboriginals are very spiritual people. And because I came under that wing, coming as missionaries from Solomon Islands to Australia, it's still very part of what I am in a community for.
Mm. Denise, can you explain a bit about the learning circle concept?
Yes, of course, Karen. So we've been using learning circles and working together that way for about 10 years now. So this week we've actually been holding an education learning circle, and as Dottie said, that's had all Lockhart leaders involved in that, as well as people from the state government, the Australian government, and from non-government agencies, the school, all working together, saying, okay, what are we doing for education right through with secondary, with young people, and also what are we going to do with the young children and parents, as Dottie says, from in the belly. So we're working on that as well. So we bring, we had another learning circle in June. A couple of months later, we've had our next one around education, and we'll have another one in February to follow up and keep this moving along.
All right. Are you able to, well, I imagine in terms of state government, education department is one of those people involved in the learning circle?
That's right. They are providing great support to us. We're working with them in a number of areas, and also very closely with the principal and the school in Lockhart River.
Are you able to mention some of the NGOs?
We're working with Playgroup Queensland.
Yep.
We've been in discussions with the Benevolent Society. Our major supporter is the Tim Fairfax Family Foundation, and we have a wonderful friend, mentor and patron in our Governor-General of Australia, Quentin Bryce.
Mm. All right. So with these learning circles, I mean, how are they set up? Are these the things that also set the priorities then for the Puya Foundation?
Yes.
They do?
Yes. So it means that we get everyone's ideas and support, and we are sure that what we're working on is meeting the needs of the community, and then we bring in, as Veronica and Dottie always say, we know what's needed in the community, and then we need to bring in the partners who can help us achieve that, and that's what we try and do through the learning circles, and we do and have had very good success in doing that.
At what level are you engaging, you know, the you know, the departments and that sort of thing? Are we talking about DGs here or regional managers? What are, you know, are they higher level people who are actually able to make kind of decisions, particularly given the budgetary limits, I guess, that have been imposed with the new Newman government?
Yes. Yes, so now we have the most senior people and in the region who've been involved in our learning circle both times. And they've been very supportive, working together with us to support improving the school. We've got a not very good attendance. We're working on that. We've got a lot of issues to support the kids. Some of them have got hearing issues because we've got absolutely fantastic, wonderful young children, and we want to work to give them every chance in life. But we also, the Community Foundation strongly supports traditional education as well as the English education. They're very strong focus on culture and language.
Yeah, I've definitely picked that up from Dottie, you know, talking about the language survival. That sounds all very good. You know, is that quite unique in the sense that you're able to sit around at that level to talk about these issues? I mean, you're a former public servant, Denise, so this must be unheard of.
It is. And I think that's why we had a couple of people just this week, one who's been coming, not a lock-up person. But that's lovely. That's fantastic feedback. And Dottie, for example, has won the Smart Women's Smart State Award. We've got various awards that for business and reconciliation. Veronica can talk about some of those. The community won the 2011 Laura Dance Festival. So it's not just us saying we're going well.
Yeah, I think the most important part is we on the ground, we've got a committee that look into the children's education, and that is made up of the police, the school, health and justice and council. So we put our heads together and look at the children's attendance at the school, and we've done house visits to parents whose kids have not been at school, just to talk with them and say how important education is. So on the ground, we are working together as a team, all the different stakeholders coming together and concentrating on education, which is number one.
Dottie, if I can bring you back into the conversation, what's the main reason why kids aren't going to school? Is there any one reason why?
Well, some of them, you know, sometimes they go to, their parents think they go to school and they don't.
Okay.
They set up, they get all dressed up and all this, but they don't, and that's what the other ones, they just don't want to go to school. That's why we want to look at the early learning education thing.
So make them fall in love with school younger.
Yeah, that'll make at a young age. Because we want to get children going to school and graduate and go on to university and things like that. It becomes very where you get maybe a lawyer from Lockhart and a doctor, all this other thing we're dreaming to want something to happen, sort of thing. Our kids going to go forward.
So, but if they're not going to school, what are they doing then? Are they just congregating somewhere?
Driving around, yeah.
Driving around?
You know, causing problems.
So does it go up to high school or do kids have to go away?
When it comes to grade 7, and 7 is at... It's like 1 to 7 at Lockhart and 8 you have to go away.
All right. Where do they normally go? To Cairns or Abergarry?
Cairns, Abergarry, Brisbane, I think, Nunji and Rockhampton, another one at Toowoomba.
Yep.
They go everywhere.
All right.
To all the outside school.
All right. Have any young people there taken advantage of, those scholarships that people like Noel Pearson and have them, established these relationships with these private schools, like the Yulari Foundation, another one that comes to mind?
No, they're...
So they're just going there?
Yeah, where they want to go.
Yeah, yeah. But as yet, we have not seen someone from Lockhart go to university yet?
We actually got a couple at university, yeah.
Oh, you do?
Young girls, yeah.
All right. What are who are they? Are you able to tell us a bit about them?
Yeah, we've got one girl in Brisbane. What's her name? Courtney. Courtney at Brisbane. Courtney Hobson. And then we've got Jirani Hobson. She's doing the one in Cairns here.
All right. At James Cook University or something like that?
Yeah.
Or, all right.
Another one already graduated, that's Julie Warradu.
Yeah.
She lived in Gold Coast and she was going to uni there, then she moved back to Cairns after she graduated.
What did she study?
What did she do?
That's all right. You have got a university graduate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lockhart River has got a university graduate, so that's someone that the young people can look up to.
Yep.
We also have another young hometown Coco who's almost finishing her nursing degree, which we're all very proud of.
All right. Is she planning to come back and work at the local clinic?
She's actually back in Lockhart, working in the clinic now, and has been a long-term health worker there. So and nurse. So that's really exciting and very inspiring, I think, for other young kids in the community to look up and see that and see her, what she's doing and what she's done.
All right. So the early education, child and maternal health are core issues for the foundation. What about for the future? How are they set? Is it through just the learning circles and sort of what emerges out of there?
So we're focusing on two things in the early years learning and parenting. One is, what are the strengths we've got in the community now? You know, what committed people, what skills, what resources, how do we build and bring them all together to work together well? And so Dottie, Veronica and other women, we brought together 14 of the workers in this area who all work for different organisations and got them working, how they could work together better for the good of the children and the parents. That's sort of a short-term thing. Then we've got a longer-term vision we're working on, which is like a 10-year vision, so that we've got a sustained, integrated services for early years learning and parenting. Because what's happened over the last 10 years, basically there's a lot of fragmentation because there's a lot of different organisations trying to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is it doesn't all come together really well for the children and parents. So we're working on a long-term vision and getting the right partners with expertise and some support to get that to happen. And as you say, it's pretty tight budget time, so it's a hard time, but we're not giving up.
Mm. Look, I think, obviously what you're doing there, you're committed people trying to change things there. And I want, our listeners to be able to get some advice from you all about how to make a change in their own communities, in their own lifestyle. I mean, Dottie and Veronica and Denise, I guess you're all aware about the scourge of type 2 diabetes, heart disease that affects our Aboriginal brothers and sisters. And, we'd like to get some advice from you in regards to that, Dottie, if that's okay. But we won't get it right now because we'll let you have a think about it, because I don't want to spring it on you so soon for you to come up with an answer. So we'll take a music break. And then I'll come back with you with your sort of advice for people who want to make a difference in their communities. I mean, whether they want to emulate what the Puya Foundation is doing and how to go about that. And if you're just tuning in to Let's Talk, my name is Karen Durante, and my guests today are from the Puya Foundation at Lockhart River. Veronica Peaver is one of the directors. The chair is Dottie Hobson, and the chief executive officer is Denise Hagen. And if you've missed any of the conversations so far, this program will be repeated after 6 p.m. after the 6 p.m. news here on 98.9 FM. Otherwise, you can listen at your own leisure by downloading the podcast when we put it online, probably later today at 98.9fm.com.au. Now, before we took that break, Veronica, Dotty and Denise, I wanted you to think about some sort of words of advice that you could give to people who are listening to today's broadcast, just in terms of whether they want to, emulate what the Puya Foundation is trying to do in their own communities. And also, I guess, from you, Dotty, I mean, health is a crucial issue for our mob, particularly when it comes to dealing with heart disease, type 2 diabetes. I mean, you were talking about the initiative there previously about getting some, you know, shoes for elders who have got type 2 diabetes, because obviously there are issues surrounding that. Dotty, what do you say to a young person, a Murray or Islander person, in terms of looking after themselves?
You know, working together, working with other families, having a yarn, you know, and see where you want to go, what you want to do. And if you smoke, give up smoking. If you drink, give up drinking, them sort of thing. Or just drink a little bit and exercise, them sort of thing.
Would drinking be much of a problem in Lockhart, though? Because it's a dry community, is it not?
Oh, yeah, but some of them still bring grog in, it's a dry community.
All right. Well, we might get some advice from Veronica and Denise as well. Veronica?
Yeah, I think the important part is self-respect, because if you respect yourself, then other things will fall in place. It's a role model that you set. You respect yourself, respect your elders, the community, and people who live in a community, and then look outwards into other people living in Australia. And I think self-respect plays a lot of part, because if you respect yourself, then you know what you're supposed to be doing and what you're supposed not to be doing. A lot of outside things are coming in, like alcohol, drugs,
anything. And Denise, your advice might be different. I mean, if people want to sort of, you know, establish learning circles or do some of the work that Puya Foundation is doing.
Yeah. Karen, one of the things that people in Lockhart say is strong culture, strong Puya, strong future. And when I think about Puya Heart, I think of Life Force.
All right, then. Well, look, we appreciate your time today here on Let's Talk. My thanks to Denise Hagen, who's the Chief Executive of the Puya Foundation, to Dotty Hobson, who's the Chair of the Foundation, and one of the directors, Veronica Peaver, who've joined us from Cairns today, because they are in town at that point in time with a learning circle, meeting with some people, talking about some very important issues. And we may catch up with the foundation later on down the track to see how they're travelling. But if you do want to find out a little bit more about the Puya Foundation and to perhaps even support what they're doing, their website is puyafoundation.com.au. Now, Puya is spelt P-W-A-Y-A. So that's puyafoundation.com.au, and you'll be able to find out a bit about the organisation and access some of the music CD that we're talking about before on the show. As I mentioned, if you have just tuned in and you've missed some of the broadcast, it will be repeated here on 98.9 FM after 6, or you can download it as a podcast from the 98.9 FM website at 989fm.com.au. And I'm Karen Durandy. Thanks for listening to Let's Talk. Tiger Bales with you tomorrow after 9.